I was looking at some data recently out of some magazines. And it was talking about different religions and the people of those religions, how many of them went to services. And it's really not a very fair comparison. They like putting the charts up, but the charts are meaningless because people don't really define being a member of a religion the same across the board. If you are born of two Israeli Jewish parents, you're a Jew. If you're born of two Jewish parents here in America, you're a Jew. And it doesn't matter if you never read the Bible. It doesn't matter if you never go to temple. It doesn't matter any of that. You're a Jew. If you're born in Saudi Arabia, you're a Muslim. It doesn't matter if you never go to the mosque or never do anything Muslim, you're a Muslim. And so when they put the charts up, they'll say something like, I think it was 35% of evangelical Protestants attend services weekly. And then they'll say, but only 12% of Jews do. It's not really apples to apples. It's not comparing the same thing. And so when they come out and they say, when we ask Jewish Americans, how many Jewish Americans believe there's a God? And the number comes back and it's like 25% of Jewish Americans believe there's a God. That doesn't really make any sense. Until you realize that this person's Jewish just because they were born Jewish. They don't really think about it. But then they say, and here's how many Christians believe there's a God. And the number's not 100%. It doesn't even matter what the number is. The number is not 100%. That's a baffling fact to me. I try to reconcile that in my mind. Let me get this straight. Now, what religion are you? I'm a Christian. Okay, Christian. That means you follow Christ and you believe He's the Son of God. Now, wait a minute. I don't believe in God. Well, how can you follow somebody that says they were the Son of God if you don't believe in God? And there's basically two camps. And neither one of them make a lot of sense. But one of them says that I don't believe that part of it, but I believe the principles He's taught, and I believe that they're good principles, and I want to follow those. That's a very peculiar thing. Basically, you think Jesus was crazy. Because you think, here's a guy, and he's saying a lot of good things, and I like the good things he's saying. He also says he's God, and he's not God. He's just, you know, but the good things he says are good, and I want to be good, so I'm going to do them. That's odd. The other camp say that Jesus never said He was God. And that the Bible has distorted what He's done, and they're going to go off and follow the things that He actually said, the principles. But He never said He was God. And so you've got these two things. How many of them attend religious services? How many of them believe in God? And the other peculiar overlap are the number of people that don't believe in God, that attend services, that don't even call themselves Christians, that attend services. People that will mark, I'm an atheist, I go to this church. Being an introvert, that confuses me, but when I talk to extroverts, they tell me that the vast majority of congregations, this one included, offer plenty of things that someone that doesn't actually believe in God can use that are very helpful to them. They offer this sense of community. They offer this sense of family. They offer get-togethers at people's houses. If you go into some of the denominations, you've got childcare and gyms and all sorts of things. But when asked about it, a number of them said that they were worried they were wrong. They went to church not believing in God because they wanted their children to be exposed to it. In case they were wrong, their children had this more open opportunity to choose. Being a Christian means you're a follower of Christ. That's what it means. These people are building up these constructs in their mind that don't make sense. If you're that afraid that you're wrong, but you're going to services so your kid can experience it, you're not going there so you can figure out if you're wrong? A lot of people go to church to do what they want to do. What Jesus said in Matthew 7, they say unto me, Lord, Lord, did we not do these things? And Jesus said, when did I ask you to do these things? I don't even know you. I didn't tell you to do any of these things. Get out of here. They didn't receive a spanking, as Tracy said, and get on into heaven. They were banished. Just to be clear, Tracy didn't believe that. She was talking about something else. If you don't follow Christ, you're not going to make it into heaven. If you believe that there is a God and that He has a plan for you and that He's all-powerful, it's irrational to believe that He wouldn't provide the plan. And it's irrational to believe that He wouldn't keep the plan available and pure so you could know what you were supposed to do. A lot of people say that. A lot of people say, well, it's been translated so many times. We don't have any of the original texts. What are they saying? They're saying, I want to do what I want to do. If this thing's accurate, I mean, if it's accurate, how can I say I believe in Jesus, but I'm not going to do that? They just want to do what they want to do. And if you do just whatever it is you want to do, you won't make it to heaven. That passage we were looking at over in John, Stan mentioned it having Greek grammatical oddities. The fact of the matter is, both the King James and the New King James leave the word practicing out several times. It says practicing all through that passage. It says that if you are a child of God, you will not practice sin. Will you stumble? Yes, but you won't practice it. Your practice will be to follow God. Your practice will be to follow Jesus. And Jesus laid out a very clear path. He said, what's the path? How do you get to heaven? How do you be in heaven with my Father? How do you be in my Father? Be in me. How do you be in me? You love me. How do you love me? You love me if you keep my commandments. And His commandments are simple. He said, that my burden is light. It's a bit like the chess analogy. It's very easy to learn chess. It's hard to master chess. It's very easy to understand and accept the burden of Christ. It's very hard to live it. It's very hard to do it completely properly. But that initial belief, that initial understanding, that initial turning to God is simple. You just have to believe that He did send His Son, that He did send Him because we're sinners and we need a Savior. You confess that and you begin your obedience. And people say, oh, you don't have to be baptized to be saved. And then you say, do you have to confess? Do you have to repent? Well, do you have to be good? Some people say no. Tracy mentioned some people say no. You can go off and start murdering people. That's irrational. Completely irrational. There's a list of things to do. Honor your father and mother. Visit the fatherless and the widows. And be baptized is on that list. If you get baptized and you don't go out and visit the fatherless and the widows, if you get baptized and you go out and you don't tell the truth, if you get baptized and you go out and you don't follow the rest of the commands, then you're lost. Because you're practicing sin. So if you're ready to stop practicing sin and to start practicing righteousness, make that first turning to God, then come forward. And if you have turned to God, but then turned away and need to turn again, We're all here to help you, all here to pray for you. Come forward as we stand and sing.